How are we doing today? Awesome. Well, hey, I am thrilled to see you all here this morning. It's so good to have so much energy in the room here. And we are at week 5 of our season of Lent. Week 5, which means we have one more week after this of Lent, and then we get to Resurrection Sunday, which is going to be a celebration off the hook here. So I hope to see you then. Now today, before we get to resurrection, we are going to continue going through a season of Lent, which is a time of, oftentimes seen as a time of death, a time of abstaining before we get to experience resurrection. Because in order to get to resurrection, you first have to go through a death. So over the past couple of weeks, we have been looking at different pieces of our lives that we are often invited to let go of. And today, Camilla already gave away, she gave a little teaser for what I'll be talking about. But today's sermon, it'll be titled, Letting Go of Perfectionism. Now, if you're anything like me, you're not a perfectionist, right? And, you know, it's funny because, so I've spoken on perfectionism a couple of times before, and I said, well, this time I want to do it a bit differently. I don't want to talk about the things that I've talked about before. Camilla hit on control being a reason why oftentimes we are perfectionists, because we want to control things. And I've talked a bit about that in the past. I remember I did a sermon in the middle of COVID, right in the beginning of COVID, where I was putting together a water table for Reese. And I just couldn't get it perfectly, so I kept taking it apart and putting it back together, and it's like a picture of my life, where you try putting something together, you try moving forward, and it doesn't quite go the way you want it to go, and so you kind of tear it all down and you start all over again. But I didn't want to give that picture again, and I tried to come up with the perfect sermon. I realized, well, okay, first off, there is no perfect sermon, and I mean, that's a sermon in itself. But so often that's my life where, okay, I got to get everything the way in which it's supposed to go, the way in which I expect it to go in my head. And I didn't realize, you know, I really thought I was making progress with perfectionism, which I do believe I am. And then a couple of months ago, I pulled a book off my shelf. And it's funny because we took everything literally out of our house, like every single item in our house was out of the house, moved somewhere else last year when we were going through the renovations. And I didn't have my books. And I feel lost without my books because I have too many shelves of books, and I did offload a couple of them through this process. But I just, whenever you're working on something or you have an idea, I'm like, oh, I remember reading about that, or I took notes on something. I have all these notes in the back of all the books that I read where I have ideas and things that I'm working on. And I didn't have those last year. And so I started cleaning off the books, putting them back into our house. And it's funny because I had to keep a notebook with me because all these ideas, I like planned out the entire sermon for 2022 as I was putting my books back on the shelf early in January, because all these ideas started coming to me. And I remember there was this one book, and I've had it on my shelf for like 7 or 8 years. And Steph's like, why don't you just get rid of that book? You've had it on there for 8 years. You're never going to read it. And I was like, no, I'm going to read it. Don't worry. Well, a week later, I pulled it out. I read it. And I feel like it's one of those books I have to revisit every year. And that's actually where this perfectionism sermon was birthed from. It's a book called Present Perfect. And I didn't realize how much of a perfectionist I was until I started reading this book. And like every page, it was like, oh, that's me. So today's sermon's inspired by the book Present Perfect, Pavel Somov, for anyone taking notes. Now let's start with a verse, a scripture verse. It's found in the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church at Philippi a couple thousand years ago. 2,000 years ago, the wisdom is still brutally relevant for us in our lives. Here's what he says, being confident of this, speaking to the church at Philippi, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I want to pull out three words from that verse: began, carry, completion. And in order to help us talk about began, carry, completion, we're going to talk about Steve Martin, Spirit Beads, and Serena Williams. All right? And we'll talk about perfectionism along the way. Let's look at that first word, began. Here's what Paul says. Began a good work. He is presenting a truth, something that he deeply, deeply believes to the church at Philippi, all the brothers and sisters. It's a truth that I believe it's true for us in our lives today. And the truth is, a good work has already started in your life. Wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, a good work has already been started in your life. Sometimes it's hard to see that. Sometimes it's hard to believe that. Sometimes we get down. Sometimes we feel a little lost. We feel like we're not where we should be or where we want to be. Those who were living in Philippi 2,000 years ago, they're just like you and me. And Paul, in his pastoral way, reminds all those who will be reading his letter back then and for all of us today and anyone else who has ever read this letter, the truth is, regardless of what you believe, a good work has already been started in your life. Now, let's look at the opposite of this, because the opposite of believing this is perfectionism. And when we are held in the grip of perfectionism, when we're not trusting the truth that a good work is or has already been started in our lives, perfectionism prevents us from seeing our progress. Oh, man, I'm still dealing with this. I still react that way when he says that to me. This behavior, this addiction, I thought by now I'd be over it. I'd be beyond it. When we're caught in the grip of perfectionism, it prevents us from seeing the good work that is happening within us, the good work that has already been started. See, perfectionism, what it does is we begin focusing on what's wrong. And let's be honest, you could probably write a list. If I gave you a note card, you could probably write a list of all the things that are going wrong in life right now. We all have our list. We all have those things. Maybe they're really big things. Sure, we all have those. We all struggle with different things. Everyone has their own struggles. Then there's those things that we nitpick a little bit, and everyone else tells you, just get over it. But you're lying in bed at night, and those little things keep playing over and over in your mind. When we are stuck in perfectionism, we begin focusing on all that's wrong or all that isn't going the way in which we want it to go at the expense of the good. And let's be honest about this too. If I were to give you a note card, you could probably fill the front with the things that are going wrong, but I guarantee you, if you sat there long enough, you could fill the back or even two note cards with all the things that are going good in your life. Are you here this morning? Are you breathing? All right. That's good. The fact that you're here and you're alive and you're breathing, it's a gift. And how often do we forget the gift of our life because we're looking at all that isn't going how we want it to go? Perfectionism, it keeps us in a constant state of dissatisfaction. When we're trying to get everything perfect, remember I gave that story of the putting together the water table before? For the entire 3 hours, I'm embarrassed to say it took 3 hours to put a little Tyke's water table together, but for those entire 3 hours, I was in a constant state of dissatisfaction. And when I ended, I was in a state of dissatisfaction because even when I had it together, it still wasn't good enough. And the thing, I mean, it works beautifully. But yet, every time I look at it, I'm like, ooh, there's a little gap there. Constantly reminds me of how it could have been better. Is that not classic perfectionism? Let's talk about Steve Martin for a minute. You all recognize this face, do you not? In his autobiography he wrote a couple years ago, here's what he said about stand-up comedy. I did stand-up comedy for 18 years. 10 of those years were spent learning. 4 years were spent refining, and 4 years were spent in wild success. I was seeking comic originality, and fame fell on me as a byproduct. So what was he really after? Originality, having fun, exploring. He was learning, refining his craft. Fame was just simply a byproduct of that. He's saying he got lucky, and we can take that however we want to take it. I get it. The course was more plodding than heroic. I love this quote. 18 years, stand-up comedy. I found success at the tail end of it. 10 years, the majority of those 18 years I was doing stand-up comedy, what were they? Learning. I mean, what a brilliant way to approach our life, is it not? The fact that we're always learning. The thing that I love about stand-up comedians, one year I decided to read a whole bunch of books on stand-up comedy. And stand-up comedians, what they would do is whenever they were working out a gig, or they were trying to work out new jokes, they would find a dive bar that had stand-up comedy. And they would get up in front of the 15, 20 people, and these were like really well-known stand-up comedians. And they would just go to some obscure bar someplace that had stand-up comedy. They would get in front, they would put a stool here. Robin Williams would do this all the time. They would get a stool. And then they would begin to give their jokes. And then the comedian, whoever was in front, would actually stop in the middle of his performance or her performance in order to take notes on how the jokes were hitting the audience. So maybe they would give a joke and it wasn't working. They didn't care about that. They didn't care. They were learning. And so they would say, all right, got to rework this one. Scratch that one. No one laughed at that. Or maybe the audience just, they started laughing at the joke and they say, great, that's a keeper. That's what I'm going to take on tour with me. The way in which stand-up comedians approach their craft is a beautiful way to approach all of life as a constant state of learning, of refining. Not everything, especially the first time you do it, not everything is going to go perfectly. And even after you've done something a couple of times, chances are it probably still isn't going to go perfectly. Sometimes I finish a sermon and I walk away, I'm like, ooh, I could have hit that a little bit better. Ooh, I wish I had taken that part out. So we're always, now there's a difference. When I was younger, that would really bother me. And I'd be on the couch for the rest of the Sunday afternoon like, oh my goodness, I just bombed that sermon. Now, Monday morning, I go back to my office, I actually start taking notes. Ooh, okay, you know what, that didn't work so well. I should have taken that was too long. Constant state of learning. I think it's a beautiful way to combat perfectionism. Just say, well, I'm a learner. I'm a student to life. I'm refining the craft of life. Try that one out. I didn't get it wrong. I didn't fail. I'm refining my life. And every moment is an opportunity to learn from it and to keep moving forward. Again, to make progress. I love this this last sentence. The course was more plodding than heroic. So I wanted to get the exact definition of plodding. So here's what Webster says plodding is. Slow moving and unexciting. The course was plodding. Here's Steve Martin, one of the greatest comedians of all time. The way I got there, it was slow and unexciting. Sound like your life? I hope not. But look, that's the course, is it not? I mean, when we look at things, sometimes it seems like where we are now, it took a long time to get there. We have these high moments, but most of life is simply paying the bills, brushing your teeth, and going to bed. That's how life is. Plotting, the path of always learning. So I have a question for us to sit with this week. And here's the question. Where are you seeing the good work in your life? What if we were to wake up every morning and ask ourselves that question? What if before you went to bed every single night, you kept a journal, maybe simply for this week, or maybe you want to use it on your phone, although it's not good to have that blue light. It disrupts your sleep. So 2 hours before bed, turn off all electronic devices, all right? Little public service announcement. Or you could get, I got these blue light blocking glasses. They're these orange glasses that I wear now. I haven't worn them in a while, but I just pulled them out the other day because I was watching TV and I felt like I didn't sleep that well. So I actually purchased a pair of orange blue light blocking glasses for the nighttime, and I have a yellow blue light blocking glasses that I wear during the day. Protects my eyes. So here you go. What if before you go to bed, you were to ask yourself this question? Where are you seeing the good work in your life? You ask yourself that question for a week, you're going to start seeing some things that you didn't realize were there. You're going to start focusing on the progress, the good work that has already started in your life, the good work that continues. Now, let's look at the second word, the word carry. What Paul says is he will carry. Notice this, not you will carry it to completion. He will carry it to completion. God will carry it to completion. You on your own will never make it to perfection, Paul is saying. But as you surrender, as you let go, and as you trust, God will carry the good work in you to completion. Perfectionism, if we were to flip it around, it makes it all about your effort, your achievement. It makes it all about what you can do. And whenever we make it about what we can do, sometimes it can be a bit discouraging. Ugh, I haven't tried hard enough. You go on your Instagram account, look at how hard they're working. Look at where they've got. I need to try hard. I need to hustle more. Right? We have this word hustle. I need to keep pushing myself more and more. And perfectionism makes it all about, it all falls on your shoulders. This is the path to exhaustion. Instead, what Paul says, God will carry it with you. Or maybe God will carry it for you. You are not alone in this journey. It's not all about your merit, how well you can do, getting it right every single time. Rather, it's about grace. So I put together a list. Or here's a chart. So when it's all about you, it can feel heavy. You ever experienced this before? Maybe even on your journey with God, you're making it, how many times can I read my Bible a week? Can I memorize these verses? I got to pray a half an hour every single day. You have this list of all these things to do. When you make it about you, there's this feeling of heaviness. There's this exhaustion because you're trying and going, but the place where you want to be, expect to be, well, the goalposts keep moving. Right, you've achieved this, and then, okay, well, if only I were just go a little bit further, then, you know what, I'm here, but now I'm going to keep moving. There's all this pressure on you, on us, to perform a certain way. Or it feels like we're tightly gripping that steering wheel, like you're in a storm and the rain is just coming down. You're holding that steering wheel because you want to make sure that you stay on the road. But the flip side of it, what Paul is saying, he will carry it to completion, it's a journey of lightness. It removes the heaviness from the journey because it's no longer all about you and what you can achieve. Rather, it's about grace. It's about the grace, the Spirit that walks with you. It's a journey of contentment. I remember a couple of years back, I was wrestling with this whole idea of perfectionism, and I came up with this phrase, contentment in dissatisfaction. Maybe try that one on for a little bit. Because there's always more that we want to do. I get it. I'm there too. We're all there. There's always more things we want to experience, more places that we want to grow. But can we be content in that dissatisfaction? That's something that I've kind of held in front of me now for years. When we trust Jesus, when it's not simply all about us, it's freeing. We realize, okay, it's not about what I can do. If we go to the next slide, this is a picture of a spirit bead, and I was reminded of this truth because we got a couch a couple of weeks ago, and it had a couple of stitches that just didn't match the rest of the couch. Now, certain Native American tribes would actually intentionally include a different color stitch in their blankets, and they would call this the spirit bead or the spirit stitch, and they would do this on purpose. In other words, they would purposely leave an imperfection in the blankets that they were weaving. Why would they do this? Because the spirit bead, they said, is a gateway for the spirit to enter. Is that not brilliant? The imperfection in the blanket was what allowed the Spirit to enter? What if all the imperfections in your life, the things that you wish weren't true, what if they were actually a gateway for the Spirit to come and enter your life? They actually said it worked two ways. It was a gateway for the Spirit to enter, and it was also a gateway for the evil spirits to leave. I love that. I love that. What if all the imperfections, the things that you just wish were beyond you, are actually the place where the Spirit comes and does her work in your life? There's a brilliant quote by a 13th century Persian mystic named Rumi. He says, "The wound is the place where the light enters you." The wound is the place where the light enters. When we're all steeled up, we're making it about ourselves, we don't leave room for the Spirit to enter. But it's actually in our weakness that we give room for the Spirit to work. Now let's talk about this third word. It's the word completion. Bring it to completion. So if this good work will be brought to completion, what Paul is saying is that the work is incomplete. Does that not take a lot of weight off your shoulders? The good work that's already started in you, it's incomplete, and God actually expects it to be incomplete. It's like, that's it. That's all we need. God expects you to be incomplete. God expects you to be in need of grace. So when we're really hard on ourselves, and we are because we're human, that's not how God is. When we're hard on others for their imperfections, that's not how God is. God's a God of grace. God's a God of mercy and of love and forgiveness. We are harder on ourselves than God is on us. God is a God of lightness. God is a God who journeys with us and carries. God's a God who begins this good work and then carries it with us, and then who brings it to completion. Perfectionism will often shame us into thinking we should be further along than where we are. If there's any shame that you're holding on to, that's not of God. That's perfectionism. And then again, it puts us in a place of perpetual dissatisfaction. I have a picture here of Serena Williams. I took this picture. We can skip that quote. I took this picture, let's see, September 2018, I think this is. So I normally take pictures, and then I just keep them on my phone, and I have no idea how they will end up in a sermon at some point. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I've been holding on to this photo for the perfect time, 4 years, 3.5 years. Now I get to use it. And I was so excited about this because when I first saw the cover of this, I was like, absolutely brilliant. Serena Williams has learned something about life. She has this wisdom that, man, if we were to live with this wisdom, it would change our lives. I guarantee you. Here's the quote. "Nothing about me right now is perfect." All right, anyone else can agree with that? Nothing about me right now is perfect. Maybe some things about me right now aren't perfect if we're not quite there yet. It's okay. It's all right. But I'm perfectly Serena. Nothing about me is perfect right now, but I'm perfectly Adrian. Sorry, you're right in front of me. What if we were to write that down? Make that into a bumper sticker. Write that down on a note card and put it right on the window, right on the mirror where you brush your teeth every morning, and remind yourself this truth. Nothing about me is perfect, but I'm perfectly, and it's okay because God's with me and God doesn't expect me to be perfect. So I can treat myself a little kinder. I can be a little gentler on myself. I can accept the fact that, yeah, the work's incomplete, but it's okay because I'm trusting that it has already started and that I'm going to make it there, that God is going to carry me there, and it doesn't fully fall on my merit and my achievements. Rather, it rests on God's grace that's upon every single one of us. So we looked at this verse, Philippians 1:6. I want to read the beginning of Philippians for us because I think this is so important for understanding what Paul believed and what Paul was trying to do for the Philippians. He begins, "Paul and Timothy, to all God's holy people." To all God's holy people, That's their identity. That's how Paul saw them. Do you think they were perfect? Of course not. I mean, he admits it right there later on. He admits, like, your life's not perfect. It's a journey. You're going to get there. But yet he still calls them holy people. To all those of the Church of Awaken, to all God's holy people at Awaken, that is to be your identity. Anytime you look at yourself and you just don't believe or you become discouraged, remind yourself, I'm a holy person. God sees me as a holy person. Then it goes, grace and peace. Yeah, grace. May grace and peace be upon you. May that be the foundation of your life, trusting and resting in grace. And then we get to this verse at the end, right? I thank my God every time. I always pray with joy. Paul's so happy that they are in his life. And I am confident of this. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm confident of that truth for you as well. A good work has started in your life. And it's not about you bringing it to completion. It's about God carrying it to completion for you. And be a little gentler on yourself. And focus on the good. And be kinder to yourself and to those around you. Look at your life from God's view with grace. And yeah, the journey is still ongoing. And that's totally okay because you are perfectly you. Let me pray for us. God, we come to you this morning. And perfectionism is something that myself, God, many of us struggle with. If we could just get things perfect, then everything would be okay. So God, I ask that if in any way, God, we are holding on to perfectionism in our lives, may you begin to break that. God, if there's any way that we are holding tightly to things, and it's feeling heavy. It's bringing exhaustion to our lives. I pray that your spirit would come and begin to bring a spirit of lightness. God, may we look at ourselves through your eyes. God, may we embrace grace. May we trust the grace of Jesus that is upon us. May we trust that, yes, a good work has started. And it's not on us to perfect it. So may we trust you with our lives. In whatever areas we are striving and trying to make it about us, may we begin to lay those down. And may we feel a lightness for the journey ahead. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.